Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the fifth Sunday of Easter comes from our first reading of Acts. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Let's follow the text. What an odd sort of question the eunuch asks of Philip. What prevents me? Who talks like that? Who phrases a question in such a way unless that person is used to being prevented from doing things? As if his whole life has just been one giant game of Red Rover, except no one sent the eunuch right over. Always the last one picked in the kickball game, forced to go stag, if you can call it that, to the prom. Not allowed entrance here or place at the table there. Always being told that there's something missing about him, something that makes him less than whole, less than good enough. And yet this eunuch had somehow climbed the ranks within the courts of Candace, the Ethiopian queen. Maybe, perhaps, because he was not seen as much of a threat. Neutered males hardly ever are. But let's give him credit where credit is due. He'd proved himself to be smart with money and good with finances, for he had been placed in charge of all of the queen's treasure. And surely he could play the political game as well. No one ascends to ranks that high without a little bit of cunning and a half tick worth of craftiness. But whatever the case, he was always going to be seen as less than. But somehow the word of the Lord made its way down to Ethiopia and into the ears of this eunuch. The word of the Lord always finds a way, doesn't it? Because we're told that the eunuch had gone up to Jerusalem to worship. He knew where he had to go if he wanted to worship Yahweh, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He couldn't stay down there in Ethiopia, for Ethiopia was not the place of the temple. That was Jerusalem. Sure, I guess he could have erected his own shrine and offered his own sacrifices upon it in his own hometown. The Old Testament is littered with Israelites who think that this sort of thing is a good thing, but truth is, it's not. It's impotent. To worship Yahweh, it means to go to Jerusalem, to the temple, the real one. And so our story picks up with this eunuch heading back home. An angel of the Lord told Philip to meet him in some deserted place, and that's exactly what happens. And after their conversation, it would seem as if the eunuch was at a bit of a crossroads. He had been told of the good news of Jesus Christ, and there, standing before him, was a pool of water. The eunuch's heart must have been filled with joy and thanksgiving, and at the same time with fear and dread. Surely he was preparing himself for the answer that always came, "That's not for you." A few days earlier, this eunuch had been in Jerusalem. The long trek now traveled, he's ready to worship Yahweh, to go to that temple, to offer a sin offering and a burnt offering and a thanksgiving offering and a grain one too. He's doing all the things that must be done, all of the things required by the law. Jerusalem, check. Temple, check. Sacrifices and offerings, check. But the law can only get you so far. The law can only show you what perfection looks like. But the law can never give you that perfection. In fact, the law will always leave you in a place of despair, because the law will never leave a single stone unturned. It will flip them all over and show the light of day to every place of darkness, of unfulfillment, of uncleanness, of failure. Try as hard as you would like, but you'll never fulfill the law. Even if you could dot all of those T's and cross all of those I's, you still wouldn't be able to fulfill it. For the law looks at the heart. It looks at the nature of man, and man's nature has been completely corrupted. All of the outward works in the world can't change the inward disease and corruption that lies within. So the law will judge. it will judge and it will damn and it will always accuse you. The eunuch, he had made his way all the way to Jerusalem, to the temple, in order to worship. It was his hope that through the sacrifices offered there, he would be made clean, but that wasn't an option for him. Too bad somebody hadn't let him know this before he went out on his journey. That could have saved him a boatload of time and a heartload of ache. For the eunuch was an Ethiopian, and that meant he was a Gentile. And his Gentileness relegated him to the outer courts. He couldn't get into the places where sacrifices were made. He had to peek behind that velvet rope where all the VIPs get to go, because he wasn't VIP enough to get himself in. And there was nothing that he could do about it. His very nature prevented him from going any further. And unfortunately, there's more. He was a eunuch, and being a eunuch is even worse than being a Gentile. It meant that he was intrinsically unclean. He did not have a place at the table. And it didn't matter how good of a guy he was. It didn't matter that he was willing to travel all the way from Ethiopia. He couldn't even step foot in the temple. It didn't matter if he desired to worship the one true God in the good, right, and salutary way. None of that mattered. He was a Gentile and he was a eunuch. And that meant that the things of the temple, in the temporal sense, weren't for him. What prevented him from the things of the temple? His Gentileness, his eunuchness, his very nature, which he could do nothing to change and had no control over. All of that kept him from fulfilling the law. What prevented him? Everything. And that's the way of it when it comes to the law. The law will never let you slide by. The law will always catch you and show you where you're less than, where you're not perfect, where you're not holy, where you're not clean. Most importantly, the law will knock away all of your nice tries and good intentions and I did my best, but I'm a good person. The law will hold a mirror up before you and say to you, don't even look at all of those good works you think you've done. Just look at the reflection staring back at you. Look at who you are. There's nothing good in you. You're unclean. You're not fit to be in the presence of the Lord God Almighty, and there isn't a single thing that you can do about it. It's who you are. You're diseased and corrupted, and your nature puts an end to all of the hopes that you might have had of ever coming into the glory of God. And so the eunuch, he finds himself in a conversation with Philip. And Philip, he's opening up the scriptures to him and telling him the good news of Jesus Christ. And he begins right there with Isaiah 53, with that great suffering servant text which speaks about Good Friday and speaks about a sacrificial lamb that has taken upon himself the sins of the world, which speaks about a lamb unblemished that has made himself the unclean one and the unworthy one, that has taken upon every single blemish and mark and stain of every single man, woman, and child and made them all his own. It speaks about a lamb who goes silently to the slaughter so that his blood can be poured out on every single Ethiopian eunuch in the whole entire world, the ones that couldn't make it to the temple on their own. And surely, Philip, he tells the eunuch about baptism too. For the eunuch knows all about it, doesn't he? Look, he says, there's water. And you've told me all about the Messiah, about Jesus, the Christ, who has come and fulfilled the whole entire law. And he did so because I could never hope to fulfill it on my own. I have no power in and of myself. That much has already been made perfectly clear to me because of my eunuchness. So what about it, Philip? Don't play games with me here. My heart has already been broken once on this trip. Don't you dare break it again. What prevents me? What prevents me from being baptized? Isn't the gospel almost a scary thing sometimes? After the law has done its damning work, after the mirror has shown that perfectly imperfect reflection of our very nature, of our very soul to us, don't we just stand there with bated breath just waiting for the other shoe to drop? I know that I do. Because the gospel sounds too good to be true. The gospel sounds like some horrible joke that's about to be played on us, like when the prettiest girl in school asks you out on a date and then never shows up. After being so crushed, so damned, so accused by the law, I just want to know what the catch is with this gospel thing. Because I've seen myself in all of its ugliness, and I know better than anybody else the sin that hides deep down inside. I know that I am the chief of sinners, just like it was sung about today. That nothing good dwells within me. That I'm dead in my sins and my trespasses. I know that my very nature is diseased and so corrupted that I couldn't dream to stand upright before my Heavenly Father. What prevents me? Everything prevents me. And I've been shown this time and time again. I know this. The law and my conscience have made this perfectly clear to me. But the gospel says differently, doesn't it? The gospel speaks a whole nother word. The gospel speaks of forgiveness and holiness and cleanness and righteousness, not of my own, but for the sake of Jesus Christ my Lord. And so when that pool of water stands before me, I want to hope against hope that it is for me, that Jesus is for me, that is death, that is resurrection there for me, that is forgiveness and life and salvation, that they're all for me. That I no longer have to answer the question on my own, what prevents me? I do. I prevent myself. My Eli-ness does. But as the eunuch utters the terrifying question, surely believing that his eunuchness will once again prevent him from receiving, Philip gets down off of that chariot and he goes down into the water. And I can just see Philip standing waist deep in that pool, staring up at the eunuch, whose eyes are now filled with wonder and amazement because he can't believe what's happening. And then I can just hear Philip utter the most beautiful words that the eunuch has ever heard in his life. What prevents you? Nothing. Nothing prevents you. Come and be baptized. What prevents you, my fellow eunuchs? When you look at the law, you'll always find the answer that you're expecting. Everything. But when the good news of Jesus comes into play, when that bloody cross and the sacrificed lamb and the empty tomb and the ascended and enthroned Jesus comes into play, when forgiveness of sins and life and salvation apart from you but most certainly for you comes into play, then the answer is always and forever going to be nothing. Nothing prevents you. Jesus is for you. And he will always be for you. His cross for you. His tomb for you. His gospel for you. Don't you dare look at yourself any longer. Don't look at your sins. And don't look at the law or your eunuchness or your you-ness. Just look to Jesus. Him for you. In the name of Jesus.